This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christy Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings. May you be blessed to be a blessing.
In Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, you'll find our scripture today, the story of the visit of the Magi, the wise men. It's on page 783 of your pew Bible, should you want to pick it up and read it there. It's also on the projected on the wall on either side of me. And of course, I'll be reading aloud. Listen and hear the word of God written. In time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where was this Messiah to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means are least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they sent out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they're overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Amen. I want to talk about how to follow maps, how to find where you're going, how to find Jesus. I want to talk about how to find God. I'm going to give you four ways to find God. And if you take nothing else home from today, I want you to take out that there are at least four ways to find God. I think a lot of our problems is that we say there's only one, or our way is the best, or don't go all the other ways. But here in the story of the Magi, the wise men, we find four ways to find how God has revealed himself. It's not that God's not trying. It's one that we're not paying attention. Now, we're going to talk about stars, kings, scriptures, and dreams. Stars, kings, scriptures, and dreams. This is a map. I don't know if you know about maps, but there is a great guy that does these crazy nut maps. It's American Life. It was on Weedia this morning, and that DVD is available if you want to borrow it and take it home. He does great maps in that he maps things you never thought about mapping and lets you see things that you never saw but are there all the time. He reveals what's there. This here is an easy to understand map. I guess it is how the mail route carries, and all the maps are in one neighborhood just outside Virginia, a neighborhood in Virginia. And this is the mail route. He did a map of the mail route. Oh, okay, mail route. What else does he got? There he is. His name is Dennis Wood. You can look him up on the web if you think. And these maps are in a tabletop book called Everything Sings. He did one of wires. These are the overhead wires. So have you ever looked at the wires, the cable and the telephone and the power wires that goes through? Dennis Wood in his good one. And he says it's a living thing. It makes the community a living thing. Capillaries and blood vessels and the very life and communication and connection of a community can be seen in the wires. How about 911 calls? There's something that's practical. Where is there crimes? Whenever there's problems, where is the clusters of things going on? Here's another way that is revealed to us from maps. How about wind chimes? How many people love the wind chimes? How many people hate them? Oh, my dad hated wind chimes. He hated them with a holy passion. That man hated them. He would have found that map and he would have gone after every one of them. But this is where you can go to wind chimes. You can see in the more expensive out there, the cluster of wind chimes, you'll see that cluster several times. That's where the mansions are, and the expensive homes are up there on the hill there. And they like the wind chimes. And you can see where you can go and hear all the wind chimes you want. How about jack-o'-lanterns? Pumpkins. Who has pumpkins on their porch? Those are the actual pumpkins. He mapped them using the actual jack-o'-lanterns pattern. And you may think, well, that's kind of silly. But he also mapped other things. And when you look at them, you'll see that the jack-o'-lantern distribution, well, we didn't get to that, but we'll get to that next. But the jack-o'-lantern distribution was exactly the same as the mentions in the newsletter. And the newsletters were about the leaders and shakers and movers and involved people in the community. And it on the DVD, you can see the maps go back and forth, and they align just right up. That where people are involved in community, when people are involved in helping out, making the place a better place to live and work, and getting the newsletter, the neighborhood newsletter, it's also where there's pumpkins. So you want to see where the good parts of town is? Drive around, look for the jack-o'-lanterns. Things are revealed to us that are there all the time. Well, first thing we think about Epiphany is a star. Now, it may not have been a star. It may have been a conjunction of planets. And if you were at Pastor's Preview, you heard all that. Or if you went to the Kent State Planetarium in December, any year, you can hear that program. I recommend it. But let's talk about stars. The first thing that we see in this scripture is that they followed a star, and it moves, and it gives them guidance. And going out from that is the idea that you can find God in nature, in the world, absence of any scripture, church, tradition, all that. And you know, people argue about that. They not so much anymore, but a little bit about it, about, oh, I feel as close to God up on the field golf course as I do on that and all these other things. And we get, you know, church people go, oh, I don't know about that. But it is a tradition not only in the Bible here about where even folks who don't have Judaism, they don't have the temple and the scriptures, and they don't have the teachings and the priests and the scribes and all that. They know something's going on with God in Birth of a King. They know that from nature. And strangely enough, the Reformed understanding, which is our heritage, our little club, our political party, where we've been before, does have a tradition of what's called general revelation, also called universal revelation. Salute, this is Calvin. There is within the human mind, and indeed by natural instinct, an awareness of divinity. This we take to be beyond controversy. To prevent anyone from taking refuge in the pretense of ignorance, God himself has implanted in all a certain understanding of his divine majesty. Ever renewing its memory, he repeatedly sheds fresh drops. And also, the conviction, namely, that there is some God, is naturally inborn in us all, is fixed deep within, as if it were in our very marrow. From this we conclude that it's not a doctrine that must be learned in school, but one of which each of us master from his mother's womb, in which nature itself permits no one to forget, although many strive with every nerve to this end. Calvin again. Something about nature makes us suspect there's something more than nature. Something about the world makes us suspect there is a God. An itch, a disturbance, an awareness, an uneasiness. Later on, Calvin says that general revelation gives you an idea of God, but scriptures are the spectacles that brings it into focus. And we'll see that later on. I want to talk a little bit about, have you been following the latest things in science theory and quantum and all these things that is? Remember when you were in school and they talked about the atom being the smallest little thing, you couldn't cut it anymore. That's what atom means, can't cut it anymore. Well, and then later on they said, well, no, you can. There's electrons and protons and neutrons and neutrinos and quarks and up, down, strange, charmed, all this stuff. But those are still little pieces. They've gotten down to now that they say maybe there's nothing. They've gotten down to all that is there is math. They said it may be that there is no things. There is only events and relationships. Now when they purse it all down, when they cut it all around, and when they go down deep enough, all the thinginess, all the stuff goes away. And all they find is math describing events and relationships. Now, I'm a holy religious kind of person. I look for that stuff. And I don't see math there. Sure, it's there. But what is God if not events and relationships? God, Trinity, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the very essence, the very being, the very most of God that we know is a relationship. Not about gender or about person or about power or about office or about anything else. The message of the Trinity of God is that God is at the core of God a relationship. An event, let there be light. And there was light. So relationships and event, I find God there at the deepest, deepest parts of the sunny of science and nature and revelation. When you get right down to it, there is no to it. There's only events and relationships. That's helpful to me. And that's okay. Because we find out in Scripture and in our heritage that it's okay to find God revealed in nature, in science, in study. It's okay. It's all right. But it's not the only thing. Here's something. It's okay to look for God in government and politics.
Hey, keep God out of politics.
Or except for morals. Morals, we can put God everywhere, but anything else, no God. Well, we find right here, is some guys, some magi. Now, later on, they're called kings. They're not really kings. They're wise men, scholars, magicians. In Acts, we call them magicians and sorcerers. The same word, magi, wise person. But here is magi going to the king and saying, the current king, the king that's sitting and saying, hey, where's the new king? That's got to be upsetting. Where's the new king? And they came and looked for God and they scurried around and tried to find God and everyone's running around. And that's okay to do. It's okay to find and look for God in the highest courts of government, even not so good ones, even not so holy ones. It's okay to go and look for God and to demand, to ask, to challenge, to include in the discussion of God that when government is working, when government is ruling, when government is to go in and say, where's God? Show me where God is. I'm thinking, who does that today? Well, I do know that Abraham Lincoln has a great quote. A pious ministry told Lincoln, he hoped the Lord is on our side. And Lincoln, I am not at all concerned about that. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. I think too often we go the other way. Hope God's on our side. And not enough, when the three wise men came, only three, no more, no less, came and said, where is God? Where is he? Not is he on our side or not, but are you on God's side? Are you with God? And I'm thinking that today, Jim Wallace with the Sojourners is the kind of guy that goes and talks to the government and the powers that be in the Congress and legislative office in Washington with Sojourners. And he's the one, the wise man, that goes in and says, where is God? Show me God in what you are doing. Where is the king of the world in all of this? Here's a most recent quote I found in him. It was Christmas time. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was speaking directly to us when she announced the meaning of our coming Savior, whom she carried in her womb when she said, he has put down the mighty from the thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty. Because the Republican budget proposals filled the rich with good things and send the hungry away, it is time to challenge the mighty on their thrones. And that's okay to do. We learned that from the wise ones, the magi. It's okay to go into the highest parts of government and say, where's God revealed in this? Where's God? In Scripture. From the upsetting, oh my gosh, he's talking politics, to the more safe and secure Bible and Scripture. God can be revealed in Scripture, in the Bible. You see what happened here? You see how it goes? He went and they kind of knew what was going on from what was going on in the world around them. Culture, we can go even more with culture and science and the outside world. Anything non-religious, non-holy, non-churchy, non-temple, non-traditional, and they go to politics and government and leaders and the people who are supposed to know each other, but they come to Scripture to find out what in the world is so upsetting. Why are we uneasy? Why are we frightened? What's going on here? Give us the answer. Find out why we see and interpret for us our experience and our learning and all the things in the government and all the things. They go to Scripture. And yeah, that's okay. God can be revealed from the Bible. They look at their Bible and it was written hundreds of years before and they found their answer for today that says what they needed to know to find God today. That, there's a three-year cycle of lectionary readings, readings from the Scriptures, from the Bibles, and we go through them. We repeat them every 3 years. I've been through them 30 years, and I tell you, every time I go through, I learn something else, something new. It may be because I'm kind of dense and dumb. That's a very real possibility on that one. But it also, I like to think that you can find God. God is constantly revealing himself in Scripture. And I love that we have 2.5, 3, depending how you count, Sunday school classes where adults go and adults find it. Too often, people stop studying the Scripture when they get to the adult reading. And men are especially bad at this. But we keep looking for God in Scripture. And God revealed the Scripture. Look for God in Scripture. He will be revealed there. Finally, dreams. Probably the opposite of finding God in Scripture, maybe the opposite. I mean, the black and white, the text, the original language, the original setting, in terms of the rule of love, the rule of faith, the rule of this, and all these other original languages and tools and commentaries and all this stuff. Probably the opposite of that part is to find God in dreams. And I put vision up there too because I don't want you to think that dreams are just what happens when we go to sleep at night, you know, and then things happen and we wake up and we say, oh, I saw something. I don't know what that means. But it's also, I dreamed of this day all my life. Have the wedding you've always dreamed of. I've always dreamed of being a parent. I've always dreamed of having someone to love. I've always dreamed of having a job that I didn't have. Whatever the dreams are, those are not the go to sleep kind of wake up, whatever happens in our subconscious running around crazy stuff. It is a way of looking at the world in what it is not yet be, but could be. You know, another good word for, you know, we talk about the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, for thy is the kingdom, the power, twice the Lord's prayer. We talk about kingdom. Another way to talk about is realm. Another way to talk about it, if you really push, is talk about God's dream. Not like it's unreal, or not like it's random, or not like it's subconscious, but the dream of the way things could be. The dreams I have of you, for you. Dreams of good and not evil. Plans, dreams. It's okay to find God in what could be. What isn't already yet, but could be someday. And the wise men did that. They took directions from dreams. They said, they look forward. What would happen if we go back and tell Herod the king we found the next king? Probably nothing good. And they dreamed a different way. And they went home another way. You can get direction from dreams, and that is okay as well. And I want to talk about dreams not just of the future, but of the past too. You know, we think about dreams of the future and we put them all in the future and what's going to happen, what happens, what's coming, what's going on, and that's good and that's right and that's true. But you know, we also dream of the past. The way things used to be. You know, rosy and good and kind. Or scary for some. Haunting for others, crippling for a couple. They come in and they're not real, but they come in and they make things real. Too often we welcome those dreams as and accept their terror and not their teaching. We accept them and take them as something to be avoided and not something to be learned from. As teachers, not tormentors. As helpers and not hindrances. The way things aren't is another way of saying the dream. And you can find God in the future. And maybe I'm too guilty of this. You can find God and look at God and go, maybe we all do that. But you know what? You can find God in the past. In dreams of the past. You can review and look and learn and take a little distance and say, you know, I don't know about you. I don't know where God is going. Sometimes I think, I say, God, what is going to 2013 going to happen? I barely got through 2012. I don't know what's going on. We've got the cliff thing. We got the budget thing. We got money. We got enough people in the church. We got this building. You know, and I worry about that. And I look for God in the future. But, you know, it's so much better for me sometimes to look in the past and see where God has led us in the past and where God has been with us in the past and what has gone on in the past. Because when I stop and look and know what's going on and what happens, I see how the dream of God is working out in the past. And that helps me right now. My brother Rick died over 28 years ago. You know, I still dream of him now and then. And he comes to me in dreams, and I see him, and it used to upset me terribly. First few years, hurt. It's coming up on the anniversary this month. But you know, now, he comes, and he's just with me. He doesn't say anything, he doesn't give any revelation or anything. And I wake up saying, thanks for the visit. Dreams, not what are, but what could be and where God is working. I don't know where you find God. I try to do a lot of different things in here. Some you may not like, some that misses you completely, some that you say, well, I hate that. It doesn't work for me at all. Yeah, okay, that's true. Not everything works for everything. I'll give you a little hint. I'll give you a little secret. I'll give you something to tell you. stuff in this worship service, boop, don't work for me. But it's not about just me. There are many ways for God to be revealed. And I, in the session, in the church, I hope, work together and say, how can we get God revealed to folks? Now, it doesn't work for me this way. Well, it's not about me. It's about everybody. Maybe it works for someone. Does it work for some people? Fine. Let's do that and celebrate it. Whether you like plans and procedures and rules and the way things are and the way things should be and the way we've always done things and all the stuff that comes from knowing where you're doing and what you're going and procedure, the science kind of thing is fine. If you like rules and regulations from on high and people deciding and voting and all that, if you like the Bible study and you want everything right in the Bible and it really brings you out of there, or if you like the dream of what could be and what has been and try to bring that into reality today, whatever way that God reveals himself to you, this or other ways, I hope you're welcome here and I hope you continue to find it all your life. God doesn't stop trying to get to you. He'll move the stars themselves to get your attention. He'll come to you in dreams. He'll lift up to you in scripture. He might even be in the news release from Washington. God reveals God's self. That is really our only hope and our only comfort that we need. Amen.